chapter 21, the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 21. I did do a misspelling, a typo with 20, but it's 21, verses 29 through the end of the chapter. And we'll also read a passage in 2 Peter, chapter 3. So chapter 21, beginning in verse 29. Jesus is at the very conclusion of His teaching and instruction regarding the end times. In verse 29, He brings the figure of the fig tree. And He spake to them a parable. Behold, the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. And in the daytime He was teaching in the temple, and at night He went out and abode in the mount that is called the Mount of Olives. And all the people came early in the morning to Him in the temple for to hear Him. Thus far in Luke chapter 21, and now we turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. We'll be reading verses 1 through 12, where Peter also speaks concerning the end times. 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing the first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water, and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Thus far in the reading of God's holy word, both in the Gospel of Luke and the Epistle of Peter. Let us now, I invite you again to open God's word in Luke chapter 21. And this great theme of the end of the world, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, began with the scenario of two things that really show the focus of the world, and the Lord Jesus uses that opportunity to show the focus that you and I should have. Remember, the last thing in chapter 20 was the view of the scribes. The Lord Jesus said to beware of the scribes, and when he talked about the scribes, he focused on what is more important for those people. Their long and flowing robes, so it was their appearance, their love for greetings and love for the best positions in the highest places in the synagogues and in the feasts, and also how they devoured widows' houses. That painted a picture of part of what the world is. They care for position, they care for their appearance, they care for the applaud of the people. And then the Lord Jesus was speaking regarding things that were going on in the temple. He spoke of that certain widow, and that puts their focus now is the building itself. And in verse 5 of chapter 21, we see that some were speaking of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts. That was the last phrase that launched into this whole sequence, this whole theme about the end of all things. And again, here's a concern of people. They're looking at a building that indeed is beautiful and full of adornment, and they're mesmerized by this. They're mesmerized by the beauty of that building. And Jesus brings this solemn warning that not a single stone of that very building would stand one upon another. And he started what, of course, it is indeed very, very hard to hear of things that are, that they will be undone. But this is what Jesus starts teaching. And we arrived at the very last part, and this whole point of the fig tree and how it becomes a sign to help us understand that these things will surely happen. Jesus is there saying, everything I've been saying, the reality that these things will happen is absolutely true. His last point regarding the fig tree ends with this verse: heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. This is not a possibility. This is not just something I'm contemplating. This is what will happen. And remember, those two predictions, the fall of Jerusalem and the end of the world, the coming of the Lord Jesus. And we stand in a day where we look back and we see that the fall of Jerusalem, the destruction of the temple, has already happened. And now we're waiting for the second coming of Christ. That's where we are right now. So Jesus ended the last section that we saw this in a very solemn way. All I've been saying is absolutely certain. The very heavens and the earth that we see, these things are not as certain as the word of Christ is. Because these things will pass away, but not my words. That's what Jesus is saying. And so his end, the way he concludes this, is telling us two things that we are to be careful about, two great dangers, and then two wonderful disciplines so that we are prepared. Jesus ends this in a very experiential way. He is saying, since this is so true, and since I know that your hearts, some of you may be very full of fear, some of you may be very confused, but I will help you know what to be careful about and how to prepare. And the great conclusion that we make of this will be our third point, the Savior that sustains you, the only Savior in light of this great, drastic reality that will affect every single human in the whole entire world, and even people who have died, because they will be resurrected that day. That'll be a moment where every soul that's ever walked upon this earth or is walking will be called to listen and to hear and to see what is happening. So this is very solemn. And the Lord Jesus, very graciously and in a very helpful way, He starts by giving us two things that we are to be careful about. So that's our first two points. The dangers that assail you. Secondly, we're going to see the disciplines that assist you. And thirdly, we'll see the Savior that sustains you. The only Savior. Now, I had a little difficulty knowing which sermon would be for the Confession of Faith service, because this afternoon sermon will also be a Confession of Faith sermon. The reason I chose to keep the order, because we're looking through Luke in the morning, is because even though the PM service will be about the name of Christ, we're looking at Lord's Day 10, and it's all about the name of Jesus. So we will see that only in His name there is salvation, Acts 4, verse 12. But the reason I chose to keep it with Luke is because we have five young men and women who are about to profess their faith. And I want to impress upon you who are professing, and for everyone who's already professed, and for those whom we hope will profess, that in light of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is so more evident than everything we're seeing. Everything we're seeing is, in a sense, an illusion compared to the solid truth of what Jesus has said. This is what it means to say, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. See, boys and girls, this means the trees you see out there, they're real, but they're going to vanish one day. They're going to burn. That's what we read in 2 Peter. This world will dissolve, but the words of Christ will not. So there is no more important thing for you and me to do, or you've already done it. So you need to understand, having professed Christ, now the importance to live this profession is the most critical thing in the life of a human being. It is more important than a wedding. It is more important than a job. It is more important than college. It is more important than playing in a sport. It is more important than playing an instrument. It is more important than having whatever degree. You can have 10,000 PhDs, but if you have not Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are in the great danger that Christ is speaking of. And you see, the world is concerned about appearance and the flowing robes and whatever fashion. And they're concerned about getting as much money as they can. Those scribes were even devouring widows' houses. And people would look at the building and say, how beautiful. And we're like this too. We look at New York City and we're so mesmerized by the beauty of the buildings and the architecture. And we need to look at all that and stop and say, there's a place for that. But have I done the most critical and important thing? Is my soul ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? We are so ready for things that will be dissolved. But are you ready for heaven? Are you in danger of hell? This is a solemnity before which Christ has brought us here. Think of this. These are the last public words of the Lord Jesus Christ that are recorded. And you know, you maybe have been beside loved ones, and you know those moments, how you want to listen to what they will say as their last words before they die. And this is what they are for the public. Jesus will still speak His last words to His disciples in private, but these are the recorded last words of Jesus to the public. And you put yourself in that. This is what Jesus was telling you and me before He went to the cross and died. And it's His love. He wants you and me to be ready. Let's look at these two dangers that assail us. In verse 34, He says, take heed to yourselves. That's what take heed means, is be careful, because these are dangers. This is what I will say. These are the dangers that you have to be careful about, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged, like that you have a surplus of this, an excess with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that the day, this coming of Christ, will come upon you unawares. There are really two things. There are three words that Jesus is using, or expression. One word is surfeiting, another word is drunkenness, and then the phrase cares of this life. We can put those into two categories. These are the pleasures of the world and the cares of this life. Why do I put the first two in the category of pleasures of this world? Surfeiting and drunkenness are two words that come really close to each other. Because the word surfeiting, it can be translated the giddiness or headache caused by drinking wine in excess. And drunkenness is, of course, the excess itself. It is intoxication. So one is the result of the vice, the other is the vice. One is the immediate effects, drunkenness. The other is the after effects, the surfeiting. Jesus is really using the word of what may happen maybe a day or two after drunkenness. And the person's mind is not really thinking straight. You're not really ready for work. There's a headache. And you see, if there's an exam, you're in trouble. And Jesus is saying, if Jesus will come back and you're in that kind of state, you're in trouble. You're in trouble when you sin. You're in trouble in the effects of sin. If that's the life you're living, you're going to be unaware. Now, clearly, God's word does say and teach that moderate use of drink is permissible. However, the Bible is very clear about the dangers of drink itself. And I do fear, beloveds, that sometimes, because we may stand as those who think that we do have a freedom for some drink, that some take that and run with it and do live this life of excess. And they do experience the surfeiting. And this is for your own heart to know where you're at. Are you aware of how God's word is so full of proverbs expressing the danger of wine and strong drink? Look at Proverbs 23:31. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moves itself aright. The whole thought is, it is a dangerous thing. It is a temptation. Don't keep looking at it if you're one who will probably fall. In Proverbs 23:20, be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh. In Proverbs 21:17, it is showing that to love wine is to love pleasure. He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. He that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. So this is why I said that this is the pleasures of the world. And what we start seeing, and you read other commentators, they agree, Jesus isn't saying that drunkenness is the only danger to not be ready for the coming of Christ. It really helps us what Jeff Thomas says, the pastor Jeff Thomas. He's a wonderful, precious pastor in Wales. He's still alive, and his sermons can be seen online. He said this about this passage. He says, Jesus is talking about getting addicted. That is, being weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness. You know what has happened in the first decade of the 21st century? Multitudes of men and women learned to control their brain chemistry to produce intense bursts of short-term pleasure. And so they have developed long-term dependence and addictions. Because once the burst of short-term pleasure has ended, then they are back to being weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. They needed their fix, and they knew where to get it. Addiction to sugar, addiction to pornography, addiction to alcohol, addiction to drugs. What a weight to carry, maybe all four. And so when the great issues of life were presented to them, their own certainty, death, eternity, the living God, being judged by Him, then they automatically dismissed those things as unimportant compared to sugar, alcohol, pornography, and drugs. So more and more, the whole generation has got way down. Be careful, says Jesus. End quote. You see, beloved, there are people who are living today who really think sugar and pornography and alcohol and drugs are more valuable to them than the fact that Jesus Christ is coming. And remember that Christ put this for the believer. We are not those who look at this day in fear. We are as those who will lift up our heads. He says, look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draws nigh. See, for the believer, this is an exciting moment. It is the critical, it is the apex of everything. We will see Jesus eye to eye. We will walk the golden streets. And see, this is what should take over the heart of the believer. And you would look to sugar, you would look to pornography, you would look at all these things, alcohol and drugs, and you would say, these are horrible things. I have no pleasure in these things. I will not give a moment for these things because this is not my life. Christ is. But if Christ begins to be obscure for you, and maybe you have this Christian mentality, he'll come one day, he is gracious, he'll forgive me. But this world, how many blessings. I love my long robes, and I love the best positions, and I love the best seats in church and at the feasts. And where can I get more money? And look at how beautiful these buildings are. And then Jesus is now bringing here surfeiting and drunkenness. People just saying, how can I have more pleasures to fulfill my fleshly desires? Beloved, isn't this a summary of the world we are in? And it tries to suck us into its system. It tries to make you feel like you need this pleasure too. And then when you're addicted to it, sometimes they'll say where you can go and spend millions of dollars to try to be made better. But there's certain addictions I've noticed that they just say, you know, there's no hope for you. We don't have a category to help for you. They get you into their addictions, and then they wash their hands. But the Lord Jesus is very honest, and he's saying, be careful. Be careful about these things. You will not be ready. Let's talk about the cares of this life. The cares of this life is basically everything else around this world. It is the things in the world that gives us a certain element of anxiety. The cares of life can be translated the anxieties of life. It is us being busy about the things of the world, about life, about just when we're concerned about the here and now. We're not worried about the future or eternity. We just think of the body. We think of the physical world. And all that matters are our things and our vacations and our harvest and our barns and our salaries and our homes and our cars. And isn't it true that these are the things that make us anxious? We're worried about paying the bills. We are worried about making ends meet. We need to buy and pay for all these different things. And then college, studying for college, and then the loans regarding college, and then doing the exams and passing the tests and making the teams and then finding the jobs and having a family, teaching our children right. And all of these things just take over our mind, the cares of this life. So Jesus is saying, these are the two ways that you may be so distracted that you will be caught unaware when I come back. There are those who are intoxicated with toxic substances. There are those who are intoxicated with total distractions. In both scenarios, we won't be ready. One of these considers the dangers that would be inside the body, really close to the body, the pleasures of the body. The other considers dangers that are outside of the body. It's still an element of pleasure in this way. One has to do with the pursuit of pleasure itself. The other has to do with the pursuit of position. And that gives us a pleasure. One is the pleasure of the body. The other is the pleasure of the ego. You see how those are two different things, but they're united in terms of pleasure. You know, when the scribe wanted the best seat, that would make his ego feel good. And when he wanted more money, that would make his belly feel good because he could buy more food. You see, this is who we are by nature. We just want pleasure. And Jesus is saying, if that's all you want, all that you want, you won't be ready. Jesus is saying, in essence, you need to want me. And this is our second point, the disciplines that assist you. And we will talk about these two disciplines, and you'll see that they unite in this, that it's all about Christ and desiring Him. Look what Jesus says, verse 36. Watch ye therefore and pray always. Those are the two disciplines, watching and prayer. Last time we ended the sermon just bringing these two out, I want to unfold them a little bit. The word watching, and maybe it's come to your mind. As soon as you hear the word watching, you might remember that these were the words that Jesus solemnly gave to His disciples when He was at Gethsemane. He said, watch and pray. He added that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. See, think of Jesus. What was He knowing? He was in Gethsemane, and He knew what lie soon at hand. He knew that pretty soon He would be arrested. He knew that pretty soon He would feel that cold and mean and deceptive kiss of Judas. He knew that pretty soon His disciples would all scatter, and soon one would deny Him. And He knew that He would face that they would face great bouts of guilt, that they would be depressed, that they would be confused, that they would be afraid. And He's telling them, you better watch, because great dangers are coming. And this is exactly what Jesus is doing, again, to the people at large. He's saying all these things that are about to happen, these wars and rumors of wars and the famines and the pestilence, the persecutions, and then at the end time at all, Christ will come back. Well, this is what I tell you. You better watch. And the word watch, the one thing that helped me in reading one commentary that really did help me is it's the mindset of living in enemy territory. You're in the trench, not in your home defending your country. You're in the trench of the enemy. So it would be as if a Ukrainian is not even now in Ukraine. He is in Russia trying to fight for Ukraine. And if you're in a trench in your own country defining an enemy, that already puts you in the mode of watching. Imagine if you are in the enemy territory. Because see, this is the world. We're not in friendly territory here in the world. The world hates us. The world put our Savior on the cross. And if they did this to the Master, you don't have reason to believe they'll treat you, if you're His servant, any better. We are in enemy territory. And we are in trenches. Now, I think I shared this with you all. One of the things that my mentor, Mr. Denham, said that always sticks with me is he would say, Johnny, people are living today as if Christianity is a vacation. It is not a vacation. It is a war. It is a battle. And it is true. That's why when we're dressed up, it's with the armor of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit. The helmet of salvation. The breastplate of righteousness. It is all items to fight in a battle. Watch is that demeanor. It's when you have this demeanor realizing, I better not start this new game, because it may become an addiction and take over my life. And if you start realizing that it's doing that to you, you just rise like a soldier and say, enough of this. And then there's some pleasure that's okay in of itself, but you start realizing it's taking a hold on you. You are loving that drink too much. You're not going to be ready. And as a Christian, you rise as in battle and you say, enough of this. And it is not hard for me to do without it if I have to, because I love Jesus more. And young people, there may be things that are over, that are taking your heart because you're looking at things that you know you shouldn't. And you know that it takes over. You know that it becomes a vice. And God's word is saying, rise like a soldier. Say no to those things. Mortify sin by the power of the Spirit. Because Christ is coming, and you do not want to be caught unawares. The whole principle of someone caught unawares, beloved, is not a Christian who's not ready. It's someone who's not a Christian and he's not ready. Because Jesus speaks of standing. Look at verse 36. Why do you watch and pray that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things? See, the principle is if you're not ready, you will not escape. And then he says that that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. So the whole idiom here is if you stand before the Son of Man is here comes my Savior and He is my judge. But I can stand because His blood is what washed away all my sins. So I can stand and I escape. But to not escape and not to stand is someone who preferred the world over Christ. And when He comes, it's too late to make the change. Today is the moment that change must be made. This is the day you profess Christ. And young person, if you're not ready to profess Him publicly, you can still profess Him in your heart. You can always be saved looking to Christ at any moment. And the younger, the better. To believe in the Lord Jesus and repent of all your sins. You don't have to wait for a certain date for that to happen. It might be too late if you do. So there's an urgency to salvation. And we have to understand that we need to be made ready. And we live in a world where many will be caught unawares. Jesus is saying this. Look at verse 35. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Beloved, these are the kinds of verses that grabbed hold in the 1700s of men and women who said, I need to go and tell them. And they were missionaries in places that were very dangerous. But they needed to go because the world needs to know. May this have the effect in your heart and mind. There are people who are not ready. They have not heard the message. They don't know this is coming in its fullness. And they need to know. They need to watch. And then it says, and pray. And so the word watch already helps pray because it's informing what kind of prayer this is. It's not just pray thinking, make a petition. And in our prayers, we can thank God, we can praise Him. But you understand, it's not always that we're urgent in our prayers. Sometimes we're even matter of fact. We just say, Lord, bless us this day, provide our food. Protect so-and-so. My child is going to college. Please bring him back safely. But Jesus is here saying that our prayer has to be even in a whole different dimension regarding the coming of Christ. Because you have to watch and pray. You have to be completely on guard. You have to be ready. And then it says pray always. And the word here for pray, if you were to translate it in other ways, it means to long, to desire, even to beg. To make supplications. So this is a different degree of prayer. And the word prayer says this in the original. And of course the watch also informs that. This is a praying that is urgent. It is a praying where you realize my life is hanging upon this kind of demeanor. I remember as a little child, it used to bring me so much fear that Christ would come and I would not be ready or loved ones would not be ready. I want that fear back so that I would be more earnest, so that I would be more intentional in pleading and interceding for those who are not ready and that I would be found ready. This is what Jesus is saying. Watch ye therefore and pray. Now you could say, well, pray for what? What are the requests that we are to pray for? Because this, of course, is what comes to our mind. And Jesus does say, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Jesus is saying, this should be your request, that you're ready, that you're saved. That you're a Christian. Beloved, it's the only way to be found worthy on that day. It's not a worthiness of our own. It's not that God will see, wow, this is a person who deserves to be protected that day. No, this being found worthy is someone who's washed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's someone who does, and immediately I go to my third point and last, the Savior that sustains you. You have your eyes fixed upon Jesus. Now, beloved, put all of this together. It's so easy when there are wars and nations rising against nations, when there are famines and pestilences, you know, all these signs that Jesus brought. Our eyes will look at these things naturally. But that's why Jesus says, when you see these things, don't be afraid. And you're thinking, how can I not be afraid? And he says, there'll even be persecutions. And they'll take you, they'll put you in prison, they'll put you behind bars. And you're going to look around, it says that parents even will betray children and brethren and kinsfolks and friends. Some of them shall cause you to be put to death. In verse 17, and you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. And then Jesus says, don't give up. Don't give in. Don't be afraid. Don't give up. And when they tell you Christ has arrived and it's some other false Christ, don't be deceived. How can you do all these things that seem impossible? By doing the last thing that Jesus is saying, watch and pray. Look to the crucified Savior. And I want to end it, like, remember Jesus said, when you are in Jerusalem, because Jerusalem will fall, flee to the mountain, Jesus said. Well, Jesus is coming back. Flee to the mountain called Calvary. It is a hill where Calvary stood. Flee to Calvary. Trust in the Savior who was nailed to the tree. Jesus there was dying for sinners. And His death for sinners, He was also concluding His life of obedience, perfect obedience, even unto death, so that when you believe in Jesus, you receive His righteousness to cover you, and your sins were received by Him, and that's why He suffered. You see how you can stand when you trust in Christ? Because Christ will look at you and He will see His righteousness. The sins that you had, He will remember having paid for in full on the cross. And that's what causes you to stand. That's the worthiness. It's not you. It's Him in you. Christ in you. The hope of glory. The Savior that sustains you. As much as this message has such a solemnity, it gives the greatest truth by which your soul and mine can rejoice. Because it's not a joy for now. It's not just a joy because someone is born into the world. It's not just a joy because we have a confession of faith. It's not just a joy because you hear of a wedding that's coming. It's a joy that's eternal. A joy of heaven. This is how you enter heaven. And when Christ is about to come to this world, you will not have to fear. You will not give up. You will not be deceived, because you'll be watching and praying. You'll be desiring this day. Your heads will have been looking up, waiting for your redemption that comes. Are you saved by the Lord Jesus? That's all that matters in this world. Boys and girls, it doesn't matter what you'll get for Christmas. It doesn't matter what you'll get for your birthday. It's important to study, young people, for those tests and get the best grades you can, but that's not the most important. The degrees that you hope to have or you're working for so hard, those are not the most important things. Are you watching and are you praying? Is Christ your Savior and your Lord? If He is, you will escape. Let us pray. Our gracious and glorious day, we thank glorious God. We thank Thee, Lord, for this day. We thank Thee, Lord, for Thy Word. And even though, Lord, we're surrounded by these very signs, we see, Lord, that Thou hast not yet come. And we pray, Lord, that we would be made ready. Give us, Lord, this watchfulness. Give us, Lord, this prayerful heart. Give us, Lord, this single eye to the Lord Jesus, that we would be ready, that we would escape, that we would stand when the Son of Man comes. And we pray, Lord, now as we hear the confession of these young men and women, Lord, that Thou would bless them, bless the whole congregation as we look to Christ for the strength and for the heart, for the love that they will need to live out this confession. And we thank Thee, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.